time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, you might be getting your breakfast ready as you listen to this, which is perfect because it fits in with our food-themed Abandoned Manitoba segment this morning, somewhat. We'll find out more. Gordon Goldsborough is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Nadia.
Remind us of the clue from last week.
I said we were going to visit a building at Roblin, Manitoba, that for many years produced the secret ingredient of French cuisine, but it was a little smelly, too.
Roblin, French cuisine, not an easy connection or immediate connection for many people.
Right. So maybe I should clarify what I mean by the secret ingredient of French cuisine. So if you ever listened to the late American chef Julia Child, who specialized in French cuisine, she always maintained that the three secrets were butter, butter, and butter. And in fact, the building we're talking about is the former creamery at Roblin.
I've always found that you can never have enough butter.
Exactly.
In my food. So I am very intrigued. But before we get into that, what is a creamery exactly?
Well, it is a facility for making butter. Now, traditionally, people made butter at home by letting whole milk, you know, fresh from the cow, it let it stand. And the cream, being lighter, a mixture of fat and water would float to the top. And you could simply skim off the cream on the top. And that's why the expression is, you know, the cream floats to the top. In later years, farmers used a machine called a cream separator. And basically, it was a centrifuge that would spin the whole milk, and again, the lighter cream would be separated from the heavier milk. So the idea is that you're extracting from the whole milk this cream, and then you take this cream and you put it into something called a churn, and the churn forces the fat in the cream to clump together. And that's what, in fact, forms the butter. The leftover liquid, by the way, which is mostly water, is what we call buttermilk. And it's not quite the thing that we sometimes think of if we go and buy a container of buttermilk at the store, because that's, in fact, fermented. There's an additional step. But the liquid that comes off as they make the butter from the cream is called butterfat or buttermilk. This is the traditional means of making butter. So a creamery is a business, basically, that's a large-scale implementation of that traditional process. Essentially, in a creamery, cream goes in, butter and buttermilk comes out.
You said before that the creamery at Roblin was smelly.
Right.
Why was that?
Well, there's two reasons. You know, first of all, they do have leftover unusable water that comes out of the butter-making process, and it would typically be discarded. So, for example, I found a mention in the Roblin local history book that the wastes from the Roblin creamery went into a low-lying area behind the building, and when it's boiled, an awful smell was produced. And so it was quite literally smelly. The second reason relates to the history of this facility. The Roblin Creamery was built between 1933 and 1934 by two brothers, Albert and Thomas Smelly.
Okay, I'm starting to see where you're going here.
You're right. They operated creameries at a number of places. They had one at Shoal Lake, at Russell, Rossburn, and at McNutt, Saskatchewan. All of these creameries then were sold in 1960 to something called the Manitoba Dairy Cooperative, later known as Manco.
How did the creamery work?
Well, you know, I depended on a friend of mine, Ken Jakeman, who worked at the Roblin Creamery in the 1960s, and he described it for me. He described the operation. So the idea was that farmers who had dairy cattle would collect the milk and then extract the cream using one of these cream separators. Every day, 6 days a week, they would arrive at the creamery with metal cans filled with cream. The creamery workers would first test the cream to ensure that it was good, because occasionally, for example, if a cow had been eating weeds of a certain kind, some of the bad flavors from those weeds would get into the milk, and that would ruin the milk. And if that were the case, they would reject those cans of cream. Then they would test the fat content of the cream, because the farmers were paid on the basis of the fat that the cream contained, not on the weight of the cream. And then, once they determined all that, they would pour the cream into a large vat and they would raise the temperature. The idea was to pasteurize it, to make it safe for consumption. There was no microorganisms and that sort of thing. And then from that vat, the pasteurized cream was transferred into a large metal churn. It kind of looks like a large, well, if you've ever seen a cement mixer is a big sort of cylinder that kind of turns, and the cement inside gets turned over and over. Basically, that's what a butter churn looks like, too. Maybe a smaller version of a cement mixer. So as the cream is being jostled inside the churn, the clumping occurs. The liquid is gradually coming out. There's a spigot on the bottom of the churn, and the buttermilk comes out, and the gradually sort of thickening butter clumps together. So after up to about an hour, they would then take it out, and they would package it either in large bulk boxes or in smaller packets for retail sale. Now, in fact, one of the things I omitted in this step was that at some point they would add salt to the cream, because of course listeners probably know that there are two kinds of butter. There is salted butter, which they've added salt to, and there is unsalted butter. And if you're like me, salted is the way to go. Yeah, unsalted butter, not
so
good.
What's the point? What is even the point?
Yeah, absolutely. So in a given day, the creamery at Roblin made it anywhere from 1 to 3 churns, and they would produce fairly substantial quantities of butter.
How much butter did the Roblin Creamery make?
Well, in the 1950s, I found statistics that said that the creamery at Roblin made 500,000 pounds of butter each year. And that eventually rose to 750,000 pounds before dropping, so that by the late 1980s, it was around 300,000 pounds a year. Now, to put that in some kind of context, that would equal 150 pounds of butter for every man, woman, and child in Roblin. But of course, the butter they made was not solely for local consumption. In fact, Ken estimated that about only 10% of the creamery's butter was actually kept for local sale. The remaining butter was shipped in bulk to either Dauphin or to Winnipeg for delivery all over Manitoba.
So what happened to the Roblin Creamery?
Well, unfortunately, Manco closed the Roblin Creamery in 1992, and they cited several successive years of money-losing operations. It just wasn't a money-making operation anymore. It became essentially a delivery depot for the creamery at Yorkton, Saskatchewan at that point. Farmers would still deliver their cream there, but it wouldn't actually be made into butter on site. It would instead be sent to Saskatchewan. And instead of being open 6 days a week, as it had been open before, it was only open 2 hours a day for 2 days a week. And at that point, you know, the 85 cream farmers that were in the area, just, you know, it was not nearly as convenient as it had been. And eventually they began to ship cream directly to Yorkton. So by the late 1990s, when the Manitoba Milk Marketing Board put an end to farm separated cream, and of course that's what had driven this whole industry up to this point, the farmers had separated the cream from their milk at their farm. This stopped in the late 1990s, and that basically spelled the end of the era of the local creamery. The Roblin Creamery closed altogether. And the building itself, well, it's been turned into a workshop.
So there are no more country creameries in Manitoba?
Well, actually, there's still at least one of them, and it's believed to be one of the few left in Canada, and it's at Notre-Dame-de-Lourdes. People like me who want to know where our food comes from, we like the idea that you could buy a pound of butter that you know the guy who made the butter, you know maybe the farmers from whom the cream was obtained, and so if you go to the creamery's website, they list the stores in Winnipeg and elsewhere where you can buy their butter. And, there are specimens. If you don't want to try the product, you can still experience, the industry. You can learn about the creamery business in Manitoba by looking at two places. So if you go to St. Claude, Manitoba, for example, they have the Manitoba Dairy Museum, and they have a demonstration of the process of making butter. At Ericsdale, they have the Ericsdale Creamery Museum. So there's at least two places in Manitoba that you can learn about this once, widespread industry that now is pretty much all gone.
You've got me craving scones, because all I can think of is just lashings and lashings of clotted cream, butter, whatever. Very interesting, Gordon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nadia.
What's the clue for next time?
We're going to examine a famous railway car that is sitting all alone in the forest of southeastern Manitoba.
Sounds good. Gordon, see you next week.
We will do.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.